I think it would serve you in good stead. First of all, it's an exhilarating experience after Yom Kippur, right? After Yom Kippur, you took the big wash, right? Svarim talk about Sukkot as being Tshuva Me'ava. In other words, once a person feels unburdened to one degree or another from the weight of all of the errors and not such errors, etc., that we may have involved ourselves in the year up until Yom Kippur, but Baruch Hashem, with Tshuva, with Yom Kippur, we've certainly unburdened ourselves from the vast majority of our issues, and maybe all of our issues. Tshuva Yom Kippur, it's an amazing thing. I want to try and cover a few different topics, and that I think will serve you in good stead. In other words, Sukkah should not be a dead time. Sukkah should be an exhilarating time. Let's start first with two sets of imagery. One of Dalad Minim and one of the Sukkah. Okay, and then we'll see where that takes us from there. The Dalad Minim, the Medrash brings down that when two people enter into the courtroom and there is a dispute between them, and one party is vindicated, he's shown to be Zakai, so he's shown to be the right one, right? He won the court case. So he takes his scepter or his spear or whatever it is, yes! Right? So the
Why would he like have it?
In other words, if you were a warrior, let's say, you see, he'd have a spear. If he were
shepherd, he'd have a staff.
He'd have a staff, I guess. In other words, whatever he happened to be grasping in his hand, yes, right, etc. So the Medrash says that the rejoicing of the Jewish people in Sukkot, using the Dalet Minim, is a statement of that sense of we won in the court case. Now, what was the court case? Let's drift back a scooch to Yom Kippur. On the Seir HaMishtaleach, remember there were two Seirim, right? Two goats. They were part of the Yom Kippur service. One was sacrificed inside the Beis HaMikdash, and the other one, with a crimson thread right tied around him, etc., was thrown off a cliff, right, in the mountainous desert area outside of Yerushalayim, the Seir La'Azazel. And the Medrash says concerning that, and what is the Seir La'Azazel representative of? Who is known as Ish Seir? Ish Seir is Esav. And the representation of the Seir HaMishtaleach is, once again, back to the Medrash. Says the Medrash, like two brothers, right? Two brothers. And there is a crop that needs to be threshed and winnowed. Right? In other words, what you do with it, you cast the wheat into the air, and the chaff blows off. One brother is very smooth, and the other brother is very hairy. Two brothers, right? One very smooth, one very hairy. And the wheat is thrown into the air. This is the part of the process of winnowing. Right? Winnowing the wheat is you take the kernels and you throw them. It's that before the kernels, they're still covered in chaff, they're still covered in the husks, they're still covered in the like the straw-like material, etc. And it's thrown in the air, and the chaff blows, right, blows away, and the kernels fall to the ground. When the chaff blows away, so it blows over these two people, the one who is very smooth and the one who is very hairy. And the chaff, as it were, gets stuck in the hair of the one who is, yeah, covered with hair. It gets just stuck in him. Gets stuck in him. It says the Medrash, that's the Mashal Ma'adavar Dome. On Yom Kippur, when we shed our Averas, when we shed our Averas, it's not just that we got rid of our Averas. What we did is we locked into who really our persona, our personality really is. Who we want to be, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, Hashem Elokim, who we want to be, that's who we really are. Who we want to be at those moments is who we really are. And so the chaff, as it were, is no longer attached. It blows off of us. We're smooth. Right? It blows off and gets stuck in the Ish Seir. The person whose persona is associated with those Averas. The person who doesn't want to live connected to Hashem. The person doesn't want to live his life, yeah, in that intense sort of beautiful relationship with the Creator. He wants to live detached. Al-char b'chatichya. He lives by the sword. The sword severs everything. So the chaff being stuck inside, as it were, the hair of this hairy individual, that's Esav. So that's who the court case was between. Who is our persona? Yeah.
The hairy brother is the...
Is Esav.
So what's the chaff? What's
the chaff is, in other words, this is the chaff is all the extra stuff. It's not the stuff... It's the stuff that's ready, you can't be eaten, etc. Who does it get stuck to? It gets stuck to Esav. Because really, there's a little bit of that inside of us, but on Yom Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Tshuva, Yom Kippurim, we made a statement, that's not me, that's not who I want to be. Yeah?
How emotionally involved in the davening do you have to be, like, be really making that statement?
Emotionally involved in the davening.
It's very challenging to actually be in the monster, like in that dominating. So like you could show up to show and you could say whatever, but like it's hard to like for me, it's very hard to like really, really feel it. But like
globally you know it. Right? And globally you want it. Nachon? Right? It's not dependent upon, I don't think this is dependent upon this word in the machzor or that word in the machzor. That's your question. Right. It's not like, oh, I didn't understand the fifth word in the 85th paragraph when I go over the 4,000th tefillah of the day, whether it's a really long day. Right? When you call it, yeah. I don't think it's dependent upon that.
So what is it dependent on?
Seder. It's dependent, first of all, it's dependent upon what you want to do and, you know, who you want to be. I think everybody agrees on who we want to be. I think every walks in Yom Kippur knowing who they wanted to be. I don't think there's any suffix here. That everybody was pretty clear on who they wanted to be and who they wanted to shed, right, when they walked into Yom Kippur. The amount that you put into the davening, so that's all based upon, you know, will, ability, you know, strengths, weaknesses, you know, that's a separate story. That's a separate story. Each person is judged according to who they are, where they are, what their ability is. YT. Yeah.
I'm just not sure I'm understanding what you're saying here. That Rosh Hashanah, like the winnowing and the Aseret Tshuva, that got stuck
there. I was only including all of Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Tshuva, with Yom Kippur in one global thing. Really, Yom Kippur is the denouement. Yom Kippur is the climax. This is where the Iseir, the Seir HaMishtaleach, the goat that's tossed off the hill, etc. That's part of the Avoda on Yom Kippurim, and the representation over there is that what it was. That is the persona that's not us. Right? There's one seir that sacrificed whose blood goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim, onto the Kodesh, onto the Mizbeach, what we call Hazav. There's what we call, there's that seir, and there's the other seir who's tossed off the cliff. The one that stays in the Mikdash, that's who we are. The one, what we call, whose blood is upon the Mizbeach, that's who we are. The one who is off the cliff, right? That's who we don't want to be. Yeah. What do we say? You have a question first. Who's what do you call? Who is, you ask a question.
What if your Yom Kippur davening, or your Yom Kippur as a whole, doesn't like properly represent the actual connection you want to have with Hashem?
Again,
what if you really, really want to have a good year, you want to be connected to Hashem, and you're davening, or for some reason your Yom Kippur, like as a whole, didn't represent that?
Again, that's what you call this. You know, listen, if you were shooting pool on Yom Kippur, so like I'd say, you know, well, I think maybe it was a better thing to do. But what do you call it? I'm not in charge of God's accounting. Rachman Aliva Boy. Hashem knows what a person wants. What do you call it? How good is a person's intention if he tries to do it and it doesn't come out for whatever reason, right? There's some kid standing behind him, what do you call kicking him in the shin. Start diving, start to concentrate, right? Whether it was an Alexi with got really cheap perfume on and really smells bad and makes you sick and you want to retch, right? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. But again, what do you call it? It starts here. I'm not saying, I'm not a believer in what do you call, I'm a Jew at heart, you know, it's okay and I don't have to do anything else, right? That's nonsense. I mean, that's only for people who really mom should know nothing. For us, we know that really the way to do things is you have to do it properly, but when sometimes it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There are reasons why it doesn't work. So then, Rachmana Liva Boy, God wants your heart. Okay, I don't want to get lost in this too much. Yeah, okay, just two more. Yeah, let's see. Yeah,
first of all, I don't know if there's a difference in like the kapar someone gets that they work. Like, the way that Hashem will mochum is going to be different if I was a chul or not a chul. Like, obviously, the best thing is to be chul, but like, is my sikha more, like,
It depends what you're doing when you're outside of shul. Like if you're taking care of some kid because the mother is on Shemirat Harayon, what do you call it, she can't move out of bed, it's different between what do you call it, if you're outside, you know, she was with a bunch of friends sitting on a park bench.
Okay, fine. And then also someone who left it was, right, you're saying do nothing, like playing pool.
Right.
It's on the day of Yom Kippur. Does that give them some sort of nechila? Like, right, you're supposed to want it, chew and all that, but someone doesn't. What is it for them? Nothing?
We possibly need tshuva also.
So you're saying someone that doesn't get tshuva, like, Yom Kippur comes, it does nothing for them. Like, someone didn't.
No tshuva whatsoever? It's about August 9, but we possibly what you call you need to do tshuva. You do tshuva. Again, how much tshuva? I don't know. Do I know what somebody's doing mahar tshuva? Like a guy who's even a 4+ loser. Maybe he's doing mahar to get a thought of tshuva. Will that help him? Perhaps. I don't know. I'm not God's accountant. Yeah.
When you say who you want to be is who you are, how do you use that? Like what does that mean practically? Like, how far does that go? Like, does that mean like what who you want to be said something about who you are, or like?
If when you say who you want to be is who you are, is if you are willing to also to make, you know, to make some changes so that you're closer to accomplishing becoming who you claim you want to be, right? And Hashem is not interested in lip service. I want to be a tzaddik. What are you doing tomorrow? I'm going to a party. I want to be a tzaddik. What are you doing after that? I'm going to the beach, and it's not separate. But I want to be a tzaddik. What do you want to be? I can't talk about it in public. But I want to be a tzaddik. Right? So that's nonsense. That's called Echtev Ashu, Echtev Ashu, where it's like I'm playing games with God. Really cool. It's not games. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Whenever you're saying Vigoy and you're playing with a lot of Kavana, but you're not sure exactly which word means. Like,
that's okay.
Even
if you
understand what you're saying, you're
just saying what you're saying. You know, you're saying, you know, at some point, brother, God, I did a bad thing. Right? No, I'm serious. I'm not making a joke. I'm not making a joke at all. I'm really not making a joke. I'm serious. If you say, God, I did a bad thing, I'm ashamed that I did a bad thing, I don't want to do this bad thing again, you're okay. What?
How does that work? If you don't know what it is.
If you don't know what it is, because you know, because the Iker Vidui is Chakasi Avisi Pashati. The Pirut, Sekhan, relax, recall, is the Pirut, being the Farek, the Chet, enumerating the Chet, is a Mila that creates the ambience. But let's say a person comes in, I don't know what any of these words mean. I have no English thing. It's all written in Hebrew. I barely can read Hebrew. I don't know what it means. God, I'm so sorry. You don't think that's Tshuva? Sure, it's Tshuva. What's a Shiloh? It's not even a suffix. Chatatzi avisi fashati. That's all you really have to say. All the other stuff is good. It's better. It's nice. It's great. It adds to the, what do you call it, to the right, going inside. But that's all you need. Chatatzi, I sin. Avisi, I sin. Fashati, I sin. Three different types of sin. I sin by mistake. I sin on purpose. I sin, what do you call it, because I didn't want to listen to you. And that we all know. Right? At some point or other, report. Let's say you're thinking in your mind about this sin over here, I was a jerk. I did it by mistake. This sin over here, I was being bigotry. You did it on purpose. This sin over here, it wasn't just on purpose. I was in like a real mood that day. No one's going to tell me what to do. So say it. That's it. We're not going to get the sukkahs this way. Yeah, okay.
What are you supposed to do if, like, it's half-time paper and, like, let's say somebody fell and asked for forgiveness and, like, you really can't forgive them? You can't put it yourself, like they did something so horrible to you.
You can't bring it to yourself.
You study
forgiveness
and
you
feel like.
I understand. Okay, let's say, Cobb, what do you call it? Let's put it this way. Somebody does something. Okay. Somebody does something to somebody that kills them. It destroys them. It destroys their life. And they can't forgive the person. So I can't tell you you have to forgive the person. Right? Again, I don't know what some people consider destroying your life is not the same as what other people consider destroying your life. But whatever, but someone destroyed... I just want to tell you, I can't tell you that. Listen, we're not going to go through a list of things that destroy people's lives. Right? That's certainly not doing what you discuss in public. The Ikar Hadin is... The din of tochacha, right? Tochacha doesn't mean Shabbos, right? That is tochacha. I mean, whether it's been done properly, that's a separate issue. But that is tochacha. But the ikar din of tochacha you find in the Rambam when somebody hurts you, right? When somebody hurts you, so then what you're supposed to do is be mochiach them. You hurt me. And then the expectation is the person will ask for forgiveness. Right? That's the Ikar Adin. We tend not to do that. We tend to continue smiling because we want to pretend no one hurt us, right? And we keep on smiling, pretending that, you know, we love the person. But really, what we're hoping for is that they step on a combo, banana peel, rollerblade, in the top of the tall staircase from Acharei, right? And really caught, and then tumble forward, really caught as fast as they possibly can, right?
You really thought about that.
It gets better as I... So long. At any rate, that's a sin. You're over an avera because you don't want to say something to the person. Okay. There is something called lufnim mishuras hadin, midas chasidos, which is called being mavir al hamidos. That means. Forget it. I'm not gonna hold a grudge against the person. I'm gonna record, forgive them, right? Etc. 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 Now, there are certain cases where it's just not possible. I can't get over it. I mean, they destroyed my life. I can't forgive them. You're not mechuyev to. All I can say is, All I can say is that when one is Mavir al Amidos, sometimes you have to try and be Mavir al Amidos. You really have to. It becomes almost the base halacha, not the midas chasidus. You understand what I'm saying? Midas chasidus and base halacha. Base halacha is what you're mechuyev to do. Midas chasidus is going the extra mile. Sometimes it becomes the base halacha. Why? Because if you say to the person, you know, you hurt me, there's nobody home to talk to. You know, it's like, hello, hello. The most you can get out of them is, you know, you hurt me. You're way too sensitive, honey. Right? There's nobody home to talk to. So now you can, you don't have to forgive them. You're not mechuyev to. But what I can't say is that when you're a mavir al amidos, yeah, when you go the extra mile and say, you know, there's nobody home, but I'm going to let go anyway. And I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm not saying it's possible to do it in certain, lots of cases. But if you do it, you buy yourself, right, a lot of brownie points. You buy yourself a lot of brownie points. Right? Because then, just like you're not medaktik, you're not so exacting with that other person, in Shemayim, they look down at you, it's not they give you a pass and say, okay, fine, you can be over a variance for the next week and a half, right? You get bonus points, right? God forbid. You can't do that. But they don't treat you upstairs with the same degree of strictness. So you buy a heavy-duty, right, bonus if you are Marvel Meters. And I'm not saying you can, I'm not saying I can, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm just telling you those on the CS. I remember the Riddick Wolf, there's a famous story during the Six-Day War, when there were mortar shells falling in Yerushalayim, right? And people were gathered in a miklat near the Mir Yeshiva. The Mir Yeshiva is a fraction of the size of what it is now, right? Just the old, this original building was there, the old building. And everyone's in a miklat, right? They're all in the bomb shelter. And this, the people from Yeshiva and people, local people from the Shchunah, from the neighborhood of Beis Israel. And one lady was over there and she screams out, Ribbono Shel Olam, I forgive him. Have mercy on all of us. Her husband left her in Aguna. I don't know how many years before then. She says, I forgive him. Have rachmanis on all the people here in the bomb shelter. So I don't know if that's the reason nobody got hurt or didn't get hurt. I have no idea. But you buy yourself a lot of points when you're Mavir al Amidos. Okay. Left her. Abandoned her. He left her as an aguna. In other words, an aguna is a woman whose husband has abandoned her or is unknown where he is, etc. She has no gift. She's not an almana. She can't get married.
I heard a story similar like that, but like the bomb dropped, but it didn't explode or something. For real,
okay, that's
that was bad.
Could be.
Could be.
One of my attempts on Yom Kippur to try and improve myself is I'm going to try and to be a little bit better person and not make too much fun of everything. So what do you call it? So
me?
No. At any event, let's continue. So now this person, right? That's the rejoicing. That's the jubilation. The jubilation after Yom Kippur, after Rosh Hashanah, after Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, right? I won. It was who did I win with? I won against my false self. Right? I won against my false self because I was able, as it were, to make the declaration, this is not who I want to be. And it's true for everybody here. What do you call it? It's true for everybody here. Right. It's true. I know who I want to be. And I shed that other stuff, etc. Will I fall down again? Inside parts of Shoyasa Tovalo Yechsab. Say it or people might stumble again. But I know who I want to be. I've shed that. I've shed it. So we're excited. We grab, our shepherd's staff, for those of us that are pacifists, right? Our spears, for those of us that are more martial-like, right, etc. And what do we grab? We grab the luluf and the dalad meaning. The lulav and dalav minim. The lulav and dalav minim, without getting lost in the roundabouts, because I really would like to just try and give over as many ideas as I feel is useful. The lulav, the dalav minim, have several different motifs to it. Two of the imagery, the sets of imagery of the lulav, the esrog, the hadasim, right, and the aravos. One set of imagery is the Jewish people. The esrog being the one who is attached to limud haTorah and attached very deeply to asiyas mitzvos. It's not that we're not talking about a person who's right, he doesn't do mitzvos, but he's attached deeply to it, to Torah and to mitzvos. The hadasim, because they have a fragrance. The fragrance carries for a distance. And good deeds, right, carry for a distance. In other words, if you know a person who's a big Baal Chesed, right, and you know a person who's a big Talmud Chacham, the fragrance of the person who does the Chesed reaches you more easily. I'm not coming to weigh on a scale what's more important, even though Talmud Torah is connected Kulam, but I'm saying the effect that you feel from someone who's a big Baal Chesed is obviously a more immediate effect. Kacha said. This is not coming to say that's better than recall to this, Talmud Torah connected Kulam. But the effect, the fragrance of the mitzvah, so therefore hadasim are representative, right, of people who are attached very deeply to mitzvahs, chesed included, etc., but they may not be as deeply attached to limud haTorah.
So
hadasim are what we call our maisim tovim, right?
Is that more like women and men?
What do you call it? I wouldn't say women and men because we have a whole discussion. Did we discuss it when we were in Poland? I don't remember.
Wow.
Let's put it this way. Women are pturos from mitzvah seisha esman grama. Okay? I can't believe that women got a raw deal. Manese, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what do you call it? A Kodesh Baruch Hu is what he calls MS. His signature is MS. I can't believe he gave women a raw deal. The truth is that in Bamidbar, last year we discussed the idea of women in tzitzis. The only reason I want to say it's women is just because I think that if you are not muchuyavos in mitzvah seis shazman groma, there must be something built into the system, right, that helps make up for it. Certainly you can be kind the mitzvah. If you're Sephardi, you won't make a bracha on the mitzvah. If you're Ashkenazi, you will make a bracha on the mitzvah, etc. But there's something built into you. Something built into what you call into women. Bina Yisera, Nitna Le'isha. Right? That it's not like, you know, like Hashem says to man, okay, you fix yourself, and women, tough luck. You know, that's the way it goes. Really, we're sort of sorry about you, but you're just cannon fodder. So when you're finished, you're all used up. You just jump off the cliff, and we'll be finished, right? Etc. God forbid, I can't believe that's the structure, and I know it's not. That's the structure. It's not the structure of things. It's not. So I don't need to find symbolism for women. If women are not mechuyavos in mitzvah seisha esman groma, it's because they don't need that. They don't need that to reach their tikkun. They don't need to reach the tikkun. Okay. So the hadasim are the fragrance, and those are maisim tovim, but not necessarily as deep a connection to Torah as the esrog has. The esrog has both. The lulav. Right, the lulav doesn't have taste, but it comes from the tamar. It comes from the date palm. And dates have taste. No fragrance, but taste. And that's Torah. Torah, but not necessarily as much of a deep attachment to mitzvahs. It doesn't mean they're not doing mitzvahs. Learning Torah, not doing mitzvahs, is a person that's called a rabbi chorus, right? He's learning Torah, he's not doing any mitzvahs. But his attachment is not to mitzvahs. His attachment is to Torah, but not to mitzvahs.
Why is that the lulav?
Because the lulav has taste, right?
Why is
the lulav? Because it comes from the date palm. The dates have taste.
The lulav comes from the date palm?
Date palm, yeah. Right? The lulav has taste, the dates have taste, etc. And finally, there's the aravos. The aravos are those with neither taste nor fragrance. And those are the people who are not plugged into anything. They're also part of the Jewish people. And eventually, when we reach the end of Sukkot, in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, right, the arava finds its tikkun, right? We take the arava by itself. It's mashpil itself, etc. It lowers itself. It admits that every quarter needs to pick itself up, etc., 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 and everything reached completion. So in that imagery, the dalet minim are representative of all the different parts of the Jewish people. So in other words, a celebration of my new self at Yom Kippur means, by definition, I have to see myself as connected to all of the Jewish people. That doesn't mean I have to want to spend 24/7 with every person. Right? I don't want to spend 24/7 with every person. But I have to want the best for them, to value them, to understand, given their peculiarities, their right, their nature, nurture issues, their problems, their strengths, their weaknesses, etc. But they're precious in the eyes of Hashem. And again, I don't have to want to spend 24/7 with them, but I have to want the best for them. So that's one set of imagery. Okay? In celebration, again, Yom Kippur, right? All of the garbage went on the Ish Seir. That's not me. That's not who I wanted to be. We're celebrating that. I've shed that false persona. I am a new person now. I'm a new person. Yom Kippur with tshuva cleanses. You've gotten rid of all the mitzvahs essays that you botched, and all the mitzvahs los essays that you botched. And even the ones that, God forbid, were chayvei krisus, or chayvei nisus bezdin, chas v'chalila, etc. But even those, you've gotten rid of most of it. And maybe, if there were yisurim before, maybe in conjunction now, you got rid of it entirely. And what constitutes yisurim? That's Hashem's business, not mine. So, it's a great day. I shed that persona. I'm rejoicing. What I do, I take my lulav, my esrog, my adasim, my ravos. Means when I rejoice, it's me as a part of the entire Jewish people. It's me and the entire Jewish people. Or, there's another set of imagery. The other set of imagery, which you're familiar with also, right, is the lulav is the spine, the esrog is the heart, the dasim are the eyes, and the ravos are the lips. I have to be whole. I rejoice in my new persona, right? Kol atzmosai tomarna. All my limbs, my bones will do it. I want to use everything that I have properly, right? You know, everything about us, everything that we're made up of, reflects a concept way, way up there. We're B'Tselem Elohim. B'Tselem Elohim means that everything that Hashem wanted to communicate to man about him is findable inside of us. Now, it may not be so easy to find because it may be buried under a lot of stuff. What? Everything that Hashem wished to communicate. This I heard from Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, Sefer of the Kodeshul Bracha, that the idea of Tselem is that everything that Hashem wished to communicate to us about Him, He implanted in us. Now, we're right? We're unfortunately, right, very out of touch with that. We're really very, what?
There's stuff we still can't grasp in our understanding. Plus, we have that, those certain stuff that, like, explain to us about, like, the dilemma in this world. We have that understanding of stuff like, oh, like, the whole, like, I say even, like, parents and everything is made in a way to understand the Torah, understand the rituals. But, like, not everything.
Everything.
Everything that he wants.
Everything he wants you to know is inside of you. It's inside of you. Now, see, things are what he caught. We don't.
So why do we have the, like, why does he put in us the want? We want to know more than we should.
To want to know more than you should?
I don't even ask questions. You say that you're not, that you don't even have an answer for it. So if I'm like, God created me, he says, you know, why couldn't he also not make me ask past that point? Like, why can my understanding stop at a point where I wouldn't want to know more?
No, what do you call it? It's all a matter of grades. It's all a matter of grades. It's a matter of, you know, in first grade, they don't teach you calculus, right? They don't teach you anything. They teach you, you know, count on your hands and your toes. Then you advance to what do you call it, to arithmetic, and then you go to higher forms of math. And then all the questions eventually are answered, right? But some of them are not even answered, what do you call, while we're still right over here. And things we haven't even thought of the questions, right, are explained after, but you gotta go through the basic things. It's like, you know, it's like, we can't be like a stubborn, you know, 2-year-old. Okay. Sprincy, now I want you to count on your fingers now. Say, 1, 2, no! One, two, no! Why don't you want to? Because I heard that Newton did something called calculus. And I want to know calculus. But Sprincy, you got it first, I said, 1, no! I want to know calculus. If I don't realize, you know, in the literature, I'm really being serious. I'm soon being serious. In the literature, when we talk about something being asur, do you understand what that means? Asur, asur, forbid. Wait, oh, asur, right? Okay. No, I understand. But I would have said it like you. Okay. Okay. Usher. Okay. Hear me. In English, I learned this also from Shapira. What he called, he opened my eyes and gave me life. They called. What he called, in English we say forbidden. But that's not the translation of asur. Or asur, as the case may be. Yeah? The translation of asur or asur is bound. I can't do that. I can't do it. Asur. Asur bezikim means to be bound up in fetters. Fetter means like shackles. Okay. I apologize. I thought it was. Okay, never mind. Okay, fine. I can't do it. I'm bound up. I can't do it. I don't think like that. This hand, I would call it, I don't see, right? I see it as viable. I see it as viable as this hand to use to get sucker, and to slap somebody in the face, to hold something it's not going to hold. It's all, what do you call it? It's all possibilities. But it's not. It's not. To get the sucker is what I've written Hashem's name. And to, what do you call it, to slap somebody in the face with it, I did something that was asur. I really couldn't do it. But I did it. So that's why we're not in touch with everything inside of us. The Pasuk in Iyov says, Mibsori ech ze eloka. From my flesh I'll see the Creator. Mibsori ech ze eloka. From my flesh I'll see the Creator. And that goes to every part of the body. every part of the body. It's holy. It's holy. It's just that the world to begin with was a mixture of Tov and Ra, certainly from the time of the Chet of Adam Rishon, and it's been compounded and recompounded and further compounded over the generations, right? And then we personally compound it so that we surround ourselves in a thick shell of where we're no longer in touch with the truth and the essence of who we are. So the goof, right? It's not only just, you know, a very global thing that we're celebrating with the Dalet Minim, right? Celebrating with the Dalet Minim, we're celebrating the unity of Klal Yisrael. There's also the celebrating the unity in myself, right? The unity in myself. My spine is the Lulav. My heart, the Esrog. My eyes, the Adatim. My lips, the Arovos. All these are part of what, Hashem, help me hold on to the truths that I tasted even if just for a moment on Yom Kippur. Help me hold on to the truths that I tasted. Again, if it was for the whole 25-hour period, if it was pretty cool, just for a minute, it was just for 2 seconds, help me hold on to that. So, because then I know that what's this for, right? What's this for? This is for, right? This is for doing the sort of things that I know the Torah tells me to do. And what are these for? These are for looking at things the Torah wants me to look at. What are these for? These are for, as it were, yeah, speaking the sort of things the Torah wants me to speak. And my erect spine? First of all, my spine sends out, you know, my ability to do everything. That's one thing. That we know. And also, you know, there's certain times when gaiva is needed. Vahid balibo, right? Dark Hashem. That a person should not be embarrassed to do a mitzvah. Not be embarrassed. You know, even though you say, oh my goodness, you've got the worst case of nerditis I've ever seen. You need to get to a doctor fast. Right, etc. Shouldn't be embarrassed. Vahid balibo. Right, a person sometimes to be proud of the Dark Hashem. But other times, a person walks around. It's me. I've done it all. I've accomplished everything. I appreciate your existence, really, because I appreciate the need for reasons also. So the spine has to be used right also. Everything has to be used right. I would say one more thing, and that's in terms of sukkah. In terms of sukkah. Everything we've spoken about now is all from our direction. I, Baruch Hashem, B'siyata Dishmaya, shed the persona on Yom Kippur. I am celebrating with my lulav and esrog, dalet minim, right? Attached to the Jewish people, right? Da-da-da. Right. Also, yeah, I'm going to make myself whole as best as I can. I want to strive for that. Now, Rizal says with regard to the sukkah, that the din is by a sukkah, that all you need is two full walls, and one partial wall. We tend to make a sukkah bigger than that. But the ikar adin, the barest minimum requirement for a sukkah is... like that. Says the Ari, Smolo Tachas Roshi Vimino Tichavkeni. Right? He has his left arm around me and he caresses me with his right hand. Boshem loves us. He loves us. Shmolo tachas roshi v'yaminu techapkeni. That's a pasuk in Shir Shirim. Right, the what do you call the Arizal says that that's what he called. That's what the Sukkah is. Hashem embraces him even with the left hand, and he caresses me with his right. The Boshem loves us. He loves us. When we sit in the Sukkah, the Sukkah is called Tilta Dmeimnusa, the shade of Emunah, the shade of Emunah. Emunah, right, is trust in Hashem. You have to trust that He loves you. You have to trust that He loves you. And after he gave us the big wash yesterday, so I think what he called, I think that's pretty big grounds on which, yeah, to trust that he loves us. He loves us. The sukkah also, the bare minimum of the area of the sukkah, and with this we'll stop, is Zion al Zion. 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. That's not very big. That's not very big. 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim? Nothing. Right? Tefach, yeah, is what he called, you know, 10 centimeters maybe? 70 centimeters or 70 centimeters, but nothing. That's less than a meter. That's less than 3 feet. Right?
How could you, like,
you can sit Rosh Uvarubo and part of your table. Right? Part of your table. Your little. Right, that's all you need. Rechaim Shmulevitz used to say that that's part of recognizing and reconnecting and reestablishing our faith in the Creator, is that we shouldn't be so preoccupied with all the physical trappings of this world. Again, doesn't mean because that's it. I'm going to wear rags, right? I'm never going to look like anything. I'm what he called. I'm not saying that, but just in terms of the world of priority, in terms of prioritization, right? Prioritize, right? Right? In terms of the world of priorities, I shouldn't be preoccupied. I should try not to preoccupy myself. That's a better way to put it. I should try not to preoccupy myself with, you know, I can't manage without this, that, or the next thing. Try to, what do you call it? Try to think about how important it is, some of the more basic things in life, connection to Hashem being the most primary of them. He loves me, right? I have to have faith in His love for me, and something that will allow me to connect to that is not always being, you know, well, I've got this year's Lexus, but really cool, what about next year's? What's going to be? Right? If I don't, you know, I got to get a plan for that, and we've only taken 3 vacations, and next door neighbor's taking 4. What? Because it's smaller. Just like, don't get carried away. It's like, don't get carried away with Olamazah.
I thought it's a mismatch that you can figure out, like, crazy.
It's a nice thing to put up, saying, but the bare minimum is to know that, you know, because we don't always have everything that we want in life. Like, matter of fact, we never have everything we want in life. Because, you know, the minute we have it, we want something else. Right? So that perspective enables us to remain connected to all these other things. The minute we lose perspective, then all these other ideas, they, you know, oh, that's really nice, but go away, leave me alone, you know, go talk into a bag, right? It loses its effect. Okay, so Mitzvah Shem should be a Gevaldige Sukkos. Gevaldige Sukkos.
We have tomorrow for...
You want to ask her? Yeah.